Good morning again.
Good morning.
And I only have 25 pages today. And Bea Bevue, I don't think you were here that week when he was going through some stuff and my notes were up here. And he said, hey, I could take some of the notes out of Pastor's binder here and get a shorter sermon. So the question is, can I get a witness for the Lord? What is God doing in your life? As we look back at 2024 and as we look forward to 2025, let me say up front, we should be very careful about making any plans because sometimes God doesn't agree with what we want to do. I remember back around 2019-ish, a lot of pastors across the nation were trying to come up with a revision 2020 as their new vision for their churches. And they were really excited about 2020 vision. That's 2020. Of course, we all know what happened in 2020 when COVID came in. So celebrating the past while embracing the future. And in your bulletin, you've got an outline. Those 4 points that are there, I'm not going to use those. I'm going to make it a little bit simpler. I mean, it'll follow along with this that we could remember the past with gratitude and we can forgive the past with grace. We could follow the path that God has for us with gladness and then rejoice in the promise of glory. Those will all apply, but I'm not going to use those today. So the verses that you see listed in your bulletin there in the outline, the Psalm 77, Philippians 3, Ephesians 3, and Hebrews 12, I'm just going to grab a few of the verses in God's word, and we're going to pull together what I would refer to as a topical sermon. And the topic of today's message is celebrating the past while embracing the future. And I'd almost given this sermon a different title, and I'll tell you about that in just a moment, but let me start us off with prayer. Again, Father, we give you thanks and praise. We ask that you would open our minds and our hearts to receive from your word. Heavenly Father, get me out of your way. Remove any layer that I might have placed on your word as I studied and as I look to apply it to my own life. But I just pray that through the power of your Holy Spirit and to your glory, we would hear your voice and that your word would speak to us in its truth because we know it is true. Help us to apply this message from today, Lord, that I believe is very pertinent for our church. Just help us to glorify in your presence, to look to you for the perfection that we get because of Christ, and especially help us to look to you in worship and in guidance as we open the bread of life. I pray these things in Christ's name. And all God's people said,
yeah.
I almost gave this sermon the title, Just Keep Swimming. Just Keep Swimming. Now, in the Pixar movie, Finding Nemo, there was an ongoing commentary that was happening. And this comment that was made in repetitious was by this blue fish named Dory. And she had short-term memory loss. And everything that they did in this movie, she would constantly say, just keep swimming. Of course, they're in the ocean. What else are they going to do, right? You know, let's park the hangar, the plane in the hangar there. But Nemo was a young clown fish that was warned by his dad not to swim out of the little colony area, the little school area, out into the big ocean. The dad's name was Marlin. He was concerned for his son's safety. And one thing led to the next, and Nemo was with some of his friends, and he went out into the bigger area and got caught in the current, was taken away from his father. And Marlin, not knowing what else to do, he just headed out into the ocean, out into the fearful waters, filled with bigger fish and dangers around every coral reef. He ran into this other fish. I'd mentioned Dory. She was a short-term memory loss lady in this story. And the two of them formed an odd couple and really developed a strong friendship. And throughout the movie, they faced danger after danger. They escaped death time and again. not knowing who they could trust or from which of the other scary fish they should steer clear of. Dory, again, who couldn't remember 10 seconds ago, continually offers encouragement to Marlin, supporting him as they desperately swam across the ocean to somehow find Nemo, his wayward son. Marlin, in the show, in the movie, he battles discouragement. He battles despair, not knowing if he's ever going to be able to find this tiny little fish in this vast ocean. That's the title of the movie, Finding Nemo. And at the same time, he had a resolve like no other that every dad could learn from. He was going to die trying, and he almost did repeatedly. But the words of Dory, "just keep swimming," can be a reminder to you and I that no matter how bleak life gets, no matter what trial we're facing, there's no depth in our despair, there's no heartbreak that we don't need somebody else really to come alongside us, somebody to offer us encouragement, to walk the road with us, somebody to put their arm around us to say, just keep swimming, don't give up. And really, for all of us individually, that somebody is Jesus. That somebody is the Holy Spirit. That someone can be even from within the church family. And when you study the first few chapters of Acts, for example, you quickly learn that the journey of Christianity is to be lived in a community of believers, where others would offer you encouragement, who will be there through thick and thin. And I have to praise God that FBC Norway is that kind of family. I've mentioned before that I've served in a few other churches. One was just a pulpit supply, but in every other case, I dealt with turmoil in the toy box, that there was all sorts of angst of people not getting along, etc. But here at FBC Norway, it's been such a pleasure and fun to call you my family and to serve alongside you. And for that, I'm thankful. But sometimes we need to have a reminder from God's word, don't we? Sometimes we need somebody to come alongside us and just give us a hug. Amen. Sometimes we need somebody to come alongside us and give us a swift kick in the shin. I didn't hear any amens there. But praise God, here at FBC, it's all done in love. So thinking of the movie Finding Nemo reminds me of a joke. There's this mom who, with their child, they were going to Europe. And the young lad says, "But mommy, mommy, I don't want to go to Europe." And she says, "Hush up, just keep swimming." Just keep swimming. Sometimes that's all we can do. Sometimes we just need that extra encouragement to stay on course. Sometimes we just need somebody to come alongside us when we're facing sin's temptations. Sometimes we just need to dive into the Holy Scriptures and listen for the voice of God to speak to our heart. Knowing that all of that is not to be a chore, but when we're walking in a right relationship with God, it's a joy. It's fun to dig into God's Word and to have Him speak intimately to you, isn't it? To see scripture that you're like, I never realized that before. We saw some of that even in the videos this morning in Sunday school, that aha moment. So when we try to engage the mind when we're looking at God's word, even when we don't see God at work, even when we're faced with those tragedies of life that might cause us to feel like we're at the end of our rope, when we're barely hanging on, even in those times that we're overwhelmed and we're tired and we're frustrated and we're impatient with God because He doesn't seem to be answering our prayers, we're wondering even if God will show up. We need to be reminded to just keep swimming. So celebrating the past, embracing the future, we just keep swimming even though we might be afraid of the water. The main truth that I want all of us to take away from today's message, and I understand this is a little bit of a longer introduction, but on purpose. The truth that I want us to all learn before we even get into the meat of God's word is this. No matter what you're faced with, no matter what has happened in your past, no matter what struggles you might be facing today, often quietly, even if you have uncertainties about tomorrow, the absolute trust or truth is this: you can trust in God. Why? Because God is trustworthy. God will never let you down. He's always there with you and for you. Just before Jesus left this earth, he gave the promise to those who were in earshot and us today, saying, "All authority under heaven has been given to me." And he goes on to say, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." What a promise. No matter what we're faced with, God loves us, and he'll love us through it. And I would dare say that God is at work in your life, especially during the times when you don't feel his presence. He will never, never leave you. He is at work in your life. Philippians 1:6, "He who began a good work in you will be faithful to carry it on to completion on the day of Christ Jesus." 2 Corinthians 5:17, "If anyone be in Christ, he's a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come." But I have to ask this question, and I ask it out loud. Why would God even care to be at work in our life? Why? He's the creator and the master of the universe, of all that is seen and unseen. Why would this holy God even care about you or me? The answer is simple: because he loves you. He loved you during your worst sin. He loved you even when you were cursing his name. He loved you when you emotionally spat in his face. And during all those times that you chose to serve either yourself or what we would call an idol. When he was patiently waiting for you to come to him, he loved you. That's the thought I want us to take from 2024 into 2025. God is lovingly orchestrating the events of your life that will bring you through the good times and through the trials to bring you to the point that he has called you to be and to be at. He loves you through every moment of every day. And there's a promise that we have in God's word. The promise is this: that the more deeply and emphatically we try to apply this to our life, the more that we have struggles, we also realize we can trust God all the more for the outcome. And even when we're praying for a certain thing and it doesn't come the way we want, God always has the best for us in mind. For many of you, this is just a reminder. But for some of you today, this might be something that you need to hear today, right now. God's word, God himself, offers you the encouragement to just keep swimming. I'll say it again. You can always trust in God because God is trustworthy. But here's the challenge. It's much easier to say just keep swimming to somebody else when they are going through a trial, when they are faced with the tragedies of life, isn't it? It's easier to say it to somebody else. It's easier to say it when we're not going through these trials. But it can be a trial to trust God. In the midst of the battle, when we face those moments, maybe when the doctor gives us a bad report, or when we learn of a loved one passing away, or when we realize perhaps that your marriage is all but over. It's a challenge when your kids grow up and they want nothing to do to you or with you. Not willing to do anything with their parents, they want to go off on their own and live their own life, and they don't want to be confined to this Christian way of living because they are wayward in their own character. The moment that we realize when Jesus said light and darkness cannot have fellowship with one another, that you're realizing it might be applying to your kids. At one point, Jesus said, "Who are my mother and my brothers and sisters, but those who do the will of God?" And I say that to say this, when we're going through these trials, when we need to have the encouragement to just keep swimming, when we are celebrating God's work in our life in the past, and we're trying to embrace the future, we have to realize that you and me, you and I, there I go again, we're adopted into the family of God. We're just passing through. This is not our home. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that good news? But what does it all mean when we're to look to God for His will to be done in and through our lives? Maybe those words might take new meaning to you. But knowing all this, especially during the tough times, I want to emphatically state these words on behalf of our church, the vision, the direction. And you know them, I've said them many times. Without Jesus, nothing else matters. Nothing else. Period. At this point, you might be thinking, well, I've only had one slide up there, and Pastor, where are you going with this? Well, I'm glad you asked. We're going to take a look at four different places in the scriptures that deal with what I've shared so far. Today, we're going to see some simple truths brought out, and the application is easy on paper, but it's difficult when the rubber meets the road. When we are looking at this question, why God, and celebrating the past and embracing the future, we need to remember three things, and this is what's not in your bulletin handout. The first thing we need to realize is that God has. In the past, God has worked. We can look at His relationship with Israel, wandering through the desert. We can look at how He dealt with the nation through the minor and the major prophets. We can look at how the early church dealt with this new religion, really, and following the promised Messiah. God has in the past. Not only that, God is. Right now, God is at work, even when we don't see Him. Even when we wonder why we're having to endure the broken family relationships or the aches and pains as we get older. Not only has God has or God is, we know that God will. Today I want you to learn some things, and this is on the bottom of your handout. If you're taking notes, here are the answers for the let. Number one is to let go. Number two would be to let God. Number three would be to let others. And number four would be to let loose. Let go, let God, let others, let loose. And we're going to unpack that today. And in the context of today's message, where we're celebrating the past and we're embracing the future, it's kind of a disagreement within Scripture when you see it at face value, where in one place it says, forgetting what is behind, I press on toward the higher calling, which is in Christ Jesus. But yet in another place it says, do not forget the ways of your youth. Do not forget the God of your past. Are we supposed to forget or remember? Which way is it? We're to hang on to the good from our past and to be freed from those things that weigh us down. I've been on at least a 10-year journey myself, and I'm preaching to myself with this message. The application on paper is easy, but when we have to apply the spoken word to our own lives, it can be difficult. There are some pains and some hurts from my past that I have had a difficult time getting over and letting go. It's been a struggle. I know that God loves me, but in my personality, I want to be good enough to earn and to rate His love for me. If you're in a small group, I've shared a little bit about this. It's hard, but I'm here to tell you that it's worth it. So the things in your past, when we're celebrating the past, we look to those bad events, those sinful times, maybe even the things that happened before you became a believer, and you look at the lesson that you have learned. And you say, I'm going to remember the lesson. And I've said this recently on purpose over the last 5 or 6 weeks. Don't remember past sins, but remember past sins forgiven. Because that's the God who loves us. That's the God that we serve. So I want you to really emphatically get this. Get this. It's all for His glory and for our good. No matter what we're faced with, it's for His glory and our good. And as we learn to walk that fine line of the difference between knowing when and how to reject the things of our past, those things that Satan reminds us of, and how to reflect on the past, it's not a contradiction. They work hand in hand. Remember the days of your youth, but forget what is behind. Remembering the past and forgetting what is behind, it is not a contradiction. The trick is to remember the lessons that you learned, to remember the times that God showed up and showed off in your midst, to remember the times when your prayers were clearly answered, but also remember your sins forgiven. Now, let me tell you a quick story. There's a man who was cleaning out his attic, and he found an old, dusty jar that had on it promises from God. It's the first time he'd seen this jar. He later realized it was his mom or his dad that did this. But curious, he opened it, and he found all these scraps of paper with Bible verses, each one representing a time where God had showed up and showed off in his mom or dad's midst. And one by one, the man read them, recalling some of the stories that he could remember of God's faithfulness. And his heart swelled with gratitude until he noticed that the jar was then empty. But it had room for more. And isn't that like our walk with God? There are things that we can remember, things that we want to leave behind. And as we end this year together, let's remember the God who was, the God who is, and the God who always will be. And as we reflect at the past, we need to understand and be reminded that God has kept His promises. He has answered prayers. He's provided in ways that we didn't expect or maybe even we didn't realize. So let's take just a moment to go into these verses. Again, it took me a while to get there on purpose because I wanted for us to understand the context as to why God led me to these four places in Scripture. I believe I even have them up on the board. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 3, starting in verse 14, going to verse 21. I've got the ESV with me, but I've got them up on the slide, so I'm going to read them from the slide so we're all on the same page. But go ahead and follow along in your translation of God's Word. The theme of Ephesians, by the way, is that God's reconciliation in Christ requires for you and me to live worthy of the salvation we've received. That's the message of Ephesians. And in chapter 3, when Paul's writing, he says, "For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven on earth is named, that according to the riches of His glory, He may grant you to be strengthened with power through His Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. And now to Him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think, according to the power within us, to Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, And then Paul concludes that forever and ever. Amen. Well, that's Ephesians. Let's look now at Philippians verses 13 and 14. Philippians 13 and 14. And this is where Paul is explaining to them. He's writing actually both of these letters. These are referred to as the prison epistles. It's around 60 to 62 AD. He's in Rome under house arrest. And he's writing to almost the other side of the world for them in Ephesus, and Philippi would be a little bit closer up north. But he says, brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward what lies ahead. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. And then Hebrews chapter 12, very familiar. In this first verse, it says, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. And then in Psalm, and that's where we're going to launch into these points that I've laid out for us. The psalmist is Asaph, by the way. If you don't know anything about Asaph, I'll tell you a little bit briefly about him. Asaph was a prominent figure in ancient Israelite music and worship. He was one of King David's chief musicians. He was a leader in the tabernacle, later in the temple. And as a Levite, he was part of the priestly lineage, although we don't know if he was a priest himself. He wrote several of the Psalms. He extended beyond the music that he was looked to as both a prophet and a seer. And his legacy is seen when we see the phrase on the subheading, the sons of Asaph. These would be the guild of temple musicians that played significant roles in the religious revivals throughout Israel. So now that we've seen the big story, now that we have seen God at work when we look into our past, that he's helped us through surgery, where he's been this with us through family crisis, when he's brought you to the moment in your walk that you're with him even today, take a moment to remember the milestones of God's faithfulness in your life. The psalmist writes, I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your wonders of old. I will ponder all your work and meditate on your mighty deeds. In other words, when you look to the past, when you celebrate the past, you celebrate how God has seen you through the past. But that would be God has, looking at the past tense of God's presence, his truth in our lives. Let's look at Ephesians 3:20 after we've looked at God has from Psalm 77. God is. In Ephesians 3:20, it says, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. We can learn that God is working even when we don't see it. God is at work in your life, molding you into the image of Christ. And sometimes his work is hidden. You might be praying for one thing and God seems to be silent, but you need to realize that he's doing something totally better. Remember, you've heard it before. When we pray, God gives us one of a few answers, either no, or yes, or not yet, I've got something better. Those are the only three answers we get. Either no, not yet, no, that's not what I want for you, or yes, you're on track, that's what I want for you, or not yet, now let's slow down, I want you to learn what my will is for your life. God is at work in your life, molding you into the image of Christ, and sometimes that work is hidden. By way of illustration, think about this. Picture this in your mind. Think about a gardener planting their seeds in the winter. They're able to get the snow out of the way. They're able to break the hardened ground. And for whatever reason, they plant in the winter. And then they sit back and wait. And obviously nothing's happening. Nothing is happening. But underground, roots are forming. Underground, the seed is dying. And then growth is going to sprout up in the spring, moving into the harvest time of the fall, whether it's flowers or whether it's wheat or whatnot. That's kind of true also with God working in our lives. He's planted seeds within us, and he's allowing those seeds to take root so that we will be prepared to serve him in the moment that he has called for us to serve him, which really is all the time. So God's at work in our life even when we see the fields barren, even when we can't see with our own eyes him working. So how do we apply that? Well, quite easily, you trust God in what he's doing. Instead of asking, why isn't God answering my prayers, you start asking, what is God trying to teach me in this moment? So God has, God is, and God will. That's the Philippians chapter 3 verses. It says, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. In other words, we learn that God will complete his work in you. God, his character never changes. We can trust his promises. But he never promised us a rose garden, did he? He'll continue to sanctify you. He'll continue to see you through the trials in life. He will fulfill his promises to you, all to his glory. Think of this illustration. This is from Corrie Ten Boom. She once said that when a train goes through a tunnel and it gets dark, that's not the time to throw the ticket out the window and to follow it by jumping out the window, just because you're not able to see anything in that moment. You still sit and trust that the engineer is going to get you through. So to summarize her comment, when you're going through those dark tunnels in life, know that God, the engineer, is going to see you through safely to your destination. In other words, press on with confidence. Now, many of you have dealt with some major calamities in your life, either cancer or the loss of a loved one or a broken marriage or whatever. The application is to let go, let God, let others, and let loose. Press on with confidence. Moving beyond the hurt and the pain. And at the top right, I want you to see what is listed above the railroad tracks on this slide. It says looking forward and looking back. Now picture yourself, you're looking forward down the tracks. That direction right now, you're looking forward off into the distance. Can you see what is down there a mile from there? No. But you can trust that God has you 10 miles past there, even though you can't see what's happening. Now picture yourself looking backwards down that same set of railroad tracks. You're looking back, but you can't see too far. Now you'll remember some things that happened earlier in your life, but the idea of this picture is to say, when you look backwards, learn how to forget about the past. Learn to agree with God from 1 John 1:9. If you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive you of your sins, cleanse you from all unrighteousness. In Psalm 103:12, as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed your transgressions from us. To cast them off, poetically speaking, into the sea of forgetfulness. So no matter what hurt or pain you're going through, when we think of this railroad track, we know that off in the distance in the future, God's got us. And off in the distance in the past, God had us. God has, He is, and He will. So how do we let go? Well, that's why I picked the Philippians chapter 3 verse, where it says, let go of the guilt, failures, and past hurts that weigh you down. Forgetting what is behind, Paul says, I press on toward the higher calling, which is in Christ Jesus. That's how you let go. How do you let God? Well, you trust Him, simply. Ephesians 3:20, we learn to trust God with your future. Surrender your plans to Him and trust that He's working in your life. Now, all of what I've said so far and what I'm going to finish with in a brief moment, I want us to think this in context of leaving 2024 behind and going together as a family into 2025. Now, I agree with Warren. One thing he often said to me is that I do not want the American calendar to dictate what I preach from God's Word. There are some preachers that around Valentine's Day, they'll preach on love, or between Mother's Day and Father's Day, they preach on the family or whatnot. And of course, we want to preach about the birth of Christ at Christmas and, you know, Easter, the death and resurrection. But to let go and to let God is to surrender yourself, your will, your plans, your hurts, your desires, your wants, your needs, give them all to God. He's got you because He's got this. And I can say that on behalf of our church as well. We need to let others. Sometimes it's very easy for us to turn inward when we're faced with a battle. Maybe we're embarrassed to share with somebody else what we're dealing with or what happened in our past or whatever. It's important that we let others in to walk with us. As Hebrews 12:2 encourages us to walk with one another, encourage each other in the faith, to share your testimony of the struggles and the good times of what God is doing in His faithfulness to you. And then to let loose. That's the Psalm 77. Rejoice in the Lord, worship Him with joy, because we know that He is faithful. So how do we take all this and how do we move forward? Now, granted, in a topical sermon, you address some verses. You really don't try to peel them apart word by word. You do that when you get into a book of the Bible. Starting next week, we're going to be looking at Colossians. I love that book. There's so much theological truth in there for us to glean from. And I think I've committed it, at least in my heart, that I'll do maybe 4 weeks in Colossians, and then we'll go off and look at something else for a little while, and then we'll come back to Colossians. And because I remember how it was when we went through Philippians, that it was just ongoing. It seemed like good stuff, but ongoing. So how do we conclude all this? How do we move forward in the faith? Well, as we stand on the threshold of this new year coming to us, God willing, we'll be able to make it past January 1st. Let's look back and remember the faithfulness of God. Let's look around and trust His presence amongst us as a family. And let's look ahead with the promises, the hope that we have in Christ Jesus, knowing that He's coming back. Amen. And He's coming back for you. Amen. And He's coming back for me. Yes. So I pose this question not to point fingers at anyone, because a lot of us do a lot of things in this church. But when we're talking about worship and fellowship, and we're talking about service, when we're thinking of the four pillars of the church growth and these four banners that you see, maybe not on the annex, you might not be able to see this one over here, but will we grow warmer through fellowship, deeper through discipleship, stronger through ministry, larger through evangelism? We try to do that through small group ministries. The question is, how are you involved? What do you do? How have you gone beyond just a Sunday morning service? Men, are you going to men's prayer breakfast? Are you part of a small group? Are you doing something to serve, even quietly behind the scenes? I'm not pointing fingers. But what I am saying is that there's plenty of opportunity for people who are not specifically involved in things to do something. And that's as a family comes together, all hands on deck. Many hands make light work. Again, not pointing fingers, but that really is a way to conclude today's message. When we learn to let go, let God, let loose, and let others, when we learn that God was, that God is, and God has, when we look to each other in our fellowship as a family, when we rejoice when others rejoice, and we cry and mourn when they do that as well, we realize that all of it is, Ken, I loved how you put this, it's in God's tapestry. Every little thread in this huge blanket that would cover the entire universe, every little thread God has there for a reason. We may not be able to see it, but praise God, He can. Let me end with this story here. There's a story about a father that was teaching his child to swim. By the way, when my dad taught me to swim, he walked with me to the high dive and dropped me. True story. Of course, my sister was there to duck me afterwards, but no, so this father was teaching his child to swim, and the child was afraid to let go of the edge. But the father said, "I'm right here, just trust me." And that little boy was hanging on with a death grip, crying, "No, Daddy, no, Daddy." And the dad calmly just said, "I'm right here. I got you. Just trust me." So finally, the child let go. And he discovered not only the safety of his father's arms, but the joy of learning how to swim. The joy of learning how to take a big breath and go underwater. The joy of being able to do something he could never do before. The joy of conquering a fear. And also to see the joy in the dad's face when the little boy trusted him to do what God wanted him to do, tying it back to our relationship with God. Let's pray.